Can a luxury boutique portrait experience involve dangling strands of Mastiff drool? We think so. Urban Dog Studio is a collaboration between Lori Elmer and Nikki Knowlton, two photographers with more than 20 years of experience and zero fear of slobber. With our complementary styles and shared passion for pets, we work together to bring you a one-of-a-kind experience. Your dog will adore being the star of his session, and you'll go home with indelible memories and heirloom quality artwork guaranteed to make you smile. Reach out today to book your session. You can find us at urbandogstudio.com.
Are you a dog owner who only wants the best for your furry family member? Looking for expert information on topics ranging from how to keep your dog safe and healthy to where to go for the best pup cups in Tampa Bay? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to your resource for news and information to help your dogs live their best life. And now, your hosts, pet photographers, owners of Urban Dog Studio, pet industry insiders, and doting dog moms, Lori Elmer and Nikki Knowlton. Are you ready? Sit, stay. Let's bark about it, Tampa Bay.
Welcome to episode 59 of Let's Bark About It, Tampa Bay. Lori Elmer here with my co-host, Nikki Knowlton. We're the owners and photographers of Urban Dog Studio, Tampa Bay's premier pet photography studio.
Hi, everyone. I am super excited for today's episode. Lori, tell us all about it.
Well, today we are going to continue our series with tips on photographing your dog with any camera. And today we're going to cover shooting angles and composition.
Fun.
Yeah. And I just want to preface all of this with there's never a bad photo of a dog because it's of a dog. They're all good.
True.
So it's just that our dogs deserve to have portraits that do them justice. And that's why we want to share all of these tips. So
I agree.
Yeah. So let's start out, Nikki, let's talk about shooting angle. Because okay. As pet photographers, I mean, this is sort of like, I don't know. I want to light's rule number one, but oh my gosh, this is so important. It's something we consider every time we're photographing a dog. It's super important. I think it helps set the mood for the photo as much as lighting does. And there's three different levels of shooting that we want to talk about. And one is when you're standing and you're kind of shooting your dog from above.
I think that's the most, it's probably the most popular that people, because that's how they are normally, right?
You're just standing up. You've got your camera in your hand. Your dog's down, you know, lower than you, unless your dog's a horse. It's like
unless it's a Great Dane.
Well, yeah. So they're definitely lower than you. And so when you're photographing them, and you're photographing them from that standing angle, looking down on them, unless they're staring straight into the camera lens, those are not usually great photos. Because it's hard to make a connection because they're usually not looking into the lens, or you can't really even see what they're looking at. They're looking down. It sort of makes them submissive in the image or less important because you're sort of towering over them. They just seem subordinate, I guess, is the word I was looking for. So, you know, it's just typically not the best option, but it's also one of the most common things that we see with snapshots of dogs. So, you know, it just doesn't have the emotion that, you know, if you're flipping through a magazine or if you're looking at our website and looking at those photos, you're making connections with those dogs. And, and we're going to kind of tell you how we make that happen. So the simplest way, right, is just to get to eye level.
Right.
So you just...
So they can make the connection. You can see what they're looking
exactly,
at.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it puts that dog on an even plane with the viewer instead of being down low. So it just helps make that connection. And it's pretty easy to do if you've got a Great Dane or even a larger dog. If you've got a Chihuahua or a tiny dog.
You're rolling on the ground, which we've done.
Yeah, your face is plastered to the ground or you're raising your dog up. So you can always get your dog up on a platform or something a little bit higher. Or
the couch.
Yeah, or just hold your phone lower, even if you can't physically bend over or get low enough, you can hold your phone lower if you're shooting with your phone.
True.
And do it that way. But the key is just to get down to your dog's eye level. I think it's the single best tip for creating more captivating images of your dog. I don't know. I guess if I was going to give anybody one tip, only one tip, and it didn't involve light, it would be getting down low and shooting at eye level. But there's also another option. And this,
oh, what is
it's
that?
It's for the really ambitious, especially if you have a Chihuahua. And that and that's getting lower than eye level. So you're practically digging a hole to photograph your dog.
Right.
Or you have them up on a hill. Or again, you have them up on a raised platform that's even
a small, yeah, slope.
That's even higher than eye level. And what happens is when you photograph your dog or a subject of any kind from that lower level, you're actually kind of making them a hero because you're elevating them a little bit above the viewer. So your dog is actually looking down on you if they're looking into the frame, or if they're looking up, you're just
right.
Yeah, you're looking up into their eyes. So you're elevating them. And
yeah, I think it elevates the emotional impact of the photo.
Right. It's like that's where you want to put the Superman cape on them. As you know, where they're kind of up like that. So, you know, it's just important to think about that as you're photographing your dog. But also, we say these things, but there are exceptions, right? Because no rule is ever meant to not be broken. And one exception to this guideline, and we see it a lot and we employ it a lot, is, for instance, if you have a dog that's right at your feet and they've bent their neck and they're looking straight up at you, so their head is tilted up, it's looking straight into your eyes, that can actually be a really, really wonderful portrait. And we want you to take that. When you see that and your dog's doing it, photograph it.
That's the begging for the treat.
Yes. But the key here is that because they're tilting their head back and they're looking straight at you, it's visually, it has the same impact as if they're at eye level in many ways.
That's the connection.
Right. So, you know, so that's fine to do. And I guess our point is just think about these things as you're creating these photographs. But that angle, that shooting angle really, really does help tell the story. It helps set the mood. And so practice with it and see how that works out. And then sort of in line with that would be, wouldn't you say, Nikki, composition kind of is tied right into that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And there's some basic composition rules that all visual artists tend to follow, and they have for centuries. And
true, yeah.
And two of those are the rule of thirds and then also the golden mean, which is sort of a mathematical formula. And we're not going to go into all the math or the science or the studies that have been done. But artists use sort of these guidelines to create more visually pleasing images. They always have, whether you're a painter, a person that does drawings, or mixed media, or a photographer, that the rule still applies. Mm-hmm. And it basically just, it involves how we as humans look at things and how our eyes work and how our brains work. And so using what we know about those things, it helps us to employ that in the images that we create so that we are basically leveraging what comes naturally to the human eye and brain to make it more pleasing. And if you Google it, you'll find all kinds of studies on it. But if you don't want to do all the work, we're just going to sort of give you the down and dirty.
Yeah. And that's the reason I just want to throw out there. I don't know how to do it on my phone, but I have seen it. You can add the grid. That's what that grid is all about. If you've seen it on your phone or on the back of a camera, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But that's why there's a grid back there so that you can use that two-thirds.
Right. And it basically looks like a tic-tac-toe board. So we're talking about the rule of thirds, and it's a tic-tac-toe board. And we're going to talk about how you use that when you're creating your compositions. But let's start talk about what the most common thing is that people do and why maybe it's something to be avoided. And
Let me guess, it's putting the subject smack dab in the middle.
Yep. It's what I like to refer to as the bullseye or the bullseye composition. And probably 99% of humans just do that naturally. So we see it all the time. And what that is you see something you want to photograph. So that's what your eye is focusing on. And then you pick up your camera and you're composing the scene, and just naturally, you want to put that thing that's so important that you're staring at right in the middle of the frame. And what results because of that is a lot of stuff around that subject, usually on top and on the sides, that's just unnecessary. It's kind of wasted space. It's wasted real estate that could have been used to either eliminate distracting elements or to to getting closer so that your subject filled the frame more fully. And what ends up happening is then people, after the fact, they crop their image. So they crop it down and they get rid of all of that stuff. But now you have a lower resolution photo that you can't print as large, or that's not going to look as clear when you upload it to wherever you're uploading it. Or they don't crop it. And then you just have a lot of this extraneous stuff that's going to compete with the subject.
Right. A lot of distractions that aren't adding to the story of what's going
on. Right. And if you listen to last week's episode, we were talking about backgrounds and how to avoid distractions in the background. Well, one way to do that is in with your composition itself, and is to not have all of those unnecessary elements in the frame if they're not helping to tell the story. So, when you're taking that photo, you want to move in, move out, move to the left, move to the right, to get rid of things that don't contribute to what you're trying to say with your image. And then once you've done that, now you have to decide, where are you going to put your subject within the frame? So sometimes if you're super tight, like it's their face is taking up the whole frame, putting them in the middle works.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're including some of the background, let's say you're photographing a dog at the beach and you want to have some of that beach in the background, you know, it makes sense to keep some of that stuff in the background, you know, and let's say your dog is kind of looking off one direction or the other. You probably don't want to put your dog right in the middle of the frame, because if you do, and they're looking off to one side or the other, they're going to be looking out of the frame instead of into it. And this is where the rule of thirds comes in really handy. And it's really clear on why the rule of thirds works. Let's say you're looking at your dog and your dog is looking to your left. And when you're placing the dog in the frame, if you put them on the left side of the frame and they're already looking to the left, they're looking out of the frame. So like your eye just wants to kind of like follow the direction that they're looking.
Wants to look. Yeah. What's that dog looking at? You don't want to look at the dog. You want to look at whatever the dog's looking at.
But if you move your dog, you place them on the right side of the frame. Now they're looking into the frame and you can see some of that landscape or background inside the frame. And it just visually makes a lot more sense. The eye is going to flow more naturally through the frame because your eye is going to flow through the frame the same direction the dog is looking. So placement, that's where you go with the rule of thirds. And again, if you're doing a portrait and you're including a little bit of background, if you put their eyes, which is the tendency smack dab in the middle, you're going to end up with all of that extra space at the top of the frame. But if you move, you just change your position so that their eyes land on that imaginary line, top line of that tic-tac-toe board. So their eyes are landing on the upper third of the line that separates the top third from the middle. Then you're not going to end up with that unnecessary real estate at the top of your frame. So anyway, that's kind of the down and dirty on the rule of thirds. We are going to include some examples of that in the show notes, because we know it's kind of hard to describe. It's easier to show. Nikki right. and I are visual people, so it's really
very, very visual.
It's kind of hard to describe this without having visual aids. So go to the show notes. Hopefully we haven't confused the heck out of everybody. And Nikki, is there anything that we've forgotten?
I think we've covered it. I'm excited for, we'll wait till the very end of this episode to explain what we're doing next time.
Right. Oh, we did forget one thing.
What did we forget?
We forgot to remind people that you can turn your camera.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're doing a portrait and it's kind of a frame filling portrait of your dog's face, most of the time it makes sense to turn your camera vertical. Unless you want to include some more landscape, but just think about what you're photographing. And does it make more sense for you to photograph, keep your camera horizontal, or does it make more sense to turn it vertically? We all kind of get in the habit, especially with our phones, and especially since we're posting a lot on platforms like Instagram that prefer that vertical format.
Yeah.
But sometimes that doesn't make for the best photo. So if you're not shooting specifically for social media, don't forget you can turn your camera around and you rotate it 90 degrees and get a frame that's situated in a way that's going to allow you to create a better composition. So
yeah.
So give that a try. And so I think let's go for our key takeaways from this. And I think think about the angle that you're shooting your dog from.
You want to have that.
Yeah.
The connection.
Yeah. So whether that's above eye level or below, just make a conscious choice. When you're placing your dog in the frame, consider the rule of thirds. Put the important elements on one of those lines or intersections and make sure your subject is looking into rather than out of the frame. When you're framing the shot, don't just think about your dog. Think about all the other things in the frame. Do they help tell the story or not? Sometimes you have to move in. Sometimes you need to move out or change positions. So your photo keeps all the important stuff and eliminates anything that doesn't help tell the story.
Right. I want to throw in there, you know, you can zoom by pinching, if you're using your phone, you know, pinching the screen, but manual zoom where you're actually moving your body back and forth and around is probably a better idea, in my opinion. It helps you get the better angles.
And I think too, with most phones, and things may have changed, but the last time I checked, when you're zooming in, it's basically just cropping the image. It's you're actually losing resolution when you do that. So if you can zoom by walking versus pinching, you'll get a
or just stretching.
Yeah, you'll get a better quality photo. Yeah. And then I guess I would just say for most people, you know, our natural tendency is to do that bullseye composition and just take the shot. And sometimes that's all you have time for, and that's okay. No judgment. But
right. There's no bad photo of right. a dog. Just like there's no bad dogs.
But if you practice a little bit, even though it's going to feel really weird at first and it's going to seem initially challenging to train your eye to look at everything within the frame versus just the middle of the frame. But honestly, you just start practicing with it. And in no time, it's just going to become second nature that you're going to be noticing, I don't need that in the frame. I'm going to turn this way or that way, or, oh, I'm going to get lower. It just becomes habit or reflex. You don't even think about it once right. you've been doing it for a while. So our challenge this week is just to take your dog, photograph from different angles, and think about what you're including in the background, what elements you're including, and does it contribute or detract from the final product? So,
yeah. And as with the other episodes that we've done, we still have our Facebook page where you can post photos of your dogs and the I'm going to call it experiments with your photography if you want to share those with us. Or you can also just, if you don't want to show everybody, you can shoot us private messages. We're happy to, you know, ooh and ah over your dog and tell you what a wonderful photographer you are.
Yeah, we've gotten a few and we've been able to offer some feedback. Yeah. So it's been fun to do that. And we've been getting great feedback on the series and we hope you're finding it helpful. And next week's actually going to be my favorite episode.
Yeah, this is where the good stuff is.
Yeah, we're going to be revealing our secrets of how we get dogs to cooperate for photos. And when I say cooperate, that's in air quotes, by the way. Because sometimes they don't, and that's okay. The key is how do you react to it when they're not exactly cooperating?
Right. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah. And we have tricks. We have tricks and tips that will help. But sometimes it's the human that has to modify their behavior to get the photo. So,
right.
Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in and tell your dog loving friends about us. We really appreciate it when you guys introduce us or introduce others to the show. We're growing and we want to keep growing and have as many listeners and other fellow dog lovers joining us each week.
It's exciting to actually find out that people are listening. I used to, if you go back probably 20, 30 episodes, I used to joke about how, you know, I didn't think anybody was listening. And now I have people that reach out and say, oh yeah, I heard this podcast. I'm like, yay. It's scary to know that people are out listening, but we really appreciate it. And we enjoy the feedback.
Right. It's not just our family and close friends anymore.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
Well, thanks everybody. We look forward to next week's episode. We hope you'll join us and tell your dogs we said hi. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Let's Bark About It Tampa Bay. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to leave a review. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on our upcoming episodes. Be sure to visit our website at www.urbandogstudio.com for show notes and links to resources discussed in this episode. Thanks for being a part of this dog-loving community. Now go give your dog a cookie, a belly rub, and say hi from us.
Ha 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 ha!